Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the RADCOM Limited Third Quarter 2015 Results Conference Call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded October 27, 2015. I will now hand the call over to Ms. Noga Fisher. Ms. Fisher, would you like to begin, please?
Thank you, Lauren. Yes, thank you all for joining us. With me today are RADCOM's CEO, David Rippstein, and CFO, Uri Birenberg. By now, we assume you have seen the earnings press release, which was issued earlier today. It is available on all the financial news feeds. Please note that management has prepared a presentation for your reference that will be used during the call. If you have not downloaded it yet, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website at www.radcom.com/investor-relations. If you have any trouble, please send Mark Rolston an email at markr@radcom.com, and he will send it to you right away. Before we begin, I'd like to review the safe harbor provisions. Forward-looking statements in the conference call involve a number of risks and uncertainties, including but not limited to product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, product technology development, the effect of the company's accounting policies, and other risk factors detailed in the company's SEC filings. The company does not undertake to update forward-looking statements. In this conference call, management will be referring to certain non-GAAP financial measures, which are provided to enhance the user's overall understanding of the company's financial performance. By excluding certain non-cash charges, non-GAAP results provide information that is useful in assessing RADCOM's core operating performance and in evaluating and comparing our results of operations on a consistent basis from period to period. The presentation of this additional information is not meant to be considered a substitute for the corresponding financial measures prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. Investors are encouraged to review the reconciliations of GAAP to non-GAAP financial measures, which are included in the quarter's earnings release. I'd like to repeat the information about the presentation. If you have not downloaded it yet, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website at www.radcom.com/investor-relations. If you have any trouble, send Mark an email at markr@radcom.com, and he will send it to you. Now I'd like to turn the call over to David. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Noga, and thank you all for joining us today. Our revenues for the quarter were $4.8 million, unchanged from the last quarter, but lower than we had expected. At the same time, as you can see in slide three, our gross margin for the quarter was the highest in our history, 82.5%, and our margin year to date is 80%. This reflects our transition from hardware to software-based product. As a result, the bottom line was a solid net profit for the quarter. This completes eight profitable quarters in a row, two complete years, and even though the telecom market in general is challenging, we were pleased to achieve very strong booking for this quarter, actually a record for a third quarter. As you can see on slide four, our operating profit on a nine-month basis is up by nearly 90% compared with the first nine months of last year. We are well-positioned, continuing to build the platform we need to support our next stage of growth. During the last several quarters, we have been working intensively on several Tier 1 NFV opportunities, mostly in the U.S. Turning to slide five, you can see that the SDN and NFV markets are expected to have a CAGR of more than 100% over the next four years, with most of it coming from established telcos. In fact, analysts are predicting that 40% of today's service providers will be deploying or testing NFV technologies this year. So this is a very big market. Our virtualized Maverick solution is opening the door to North America and Europe, which offer the largest opportunities, and we are going after them with full force. As you know, with the goal of entering these markets rapidly and with the full power, we formed partnership with Amdocs and HP. They have been taking us to the top-tier service providers. The process for closing this deal is long and hard, involving a massive effort from the whole team, R&D, sales, and marketing. So far, we are doing extremely well, moving from stage to stage and facing less competition at each new level. As we expected, the Maverick is proving to be a close match to customer needs. Winning any such opportunity will be a game changer for RADCOM. Financially, it will take our revenues and profits to a new level. And from a competitive point of view, it would position us as the clear leader of virtualized CM, leading naturally to more tier one business. Obviously, nothing is certain until we have orders in hand, and we have no control over timing. But as you can see in slide six, having created the right product and partnerships, we are positioned to take advantage of the opportunity. NETSCOUT acquisition of Tektronix is also working to our benefit. In summary, as you can understand from my remarks, 2015 has been the year in which we began pursuing a very ambitious strategy for penetrating developed market with our NFV solution. We are pleased with our progress. With that, I will stop and turn the call over to Uri to discuss the financial results. Uri, please.
Thank you, David. Since you have the financial results beginning on slide seven, I will just go over the highlights. To help you understand the results, I will be referring mainly to non-GAAP numbers, which exclude share-based compensation. Revenues for the quarter were $4.8 million, unchanged from the second quarter, but down from last year. As David said, this reflects the focus of the entire organization on our new opportunities. Nevertheless, our bookings for the quarter were at a record level. There is still a lot of potential with our existing customers. For the nine-month period, revenues were $16 million, down slightly from $16.4 million in the first 9 months of 2014. Turning to slide eight, our gross margin for the quarter has set a new record, 82.5%. This is in line with the new long-term target that we set last quarter, which is above 80%. In fact, for the nine-month period, gross margin was exactly 80%. As you can see on slide nine, our gross R&D for the quarter was just under $1.3 million, unchanged from last year. However, the net figure is nearly 40% lower, $414,000, compared with $644,000 in the third quarter of 2014. The $867,000 was the catch-up grant, which we are expecting to receive from the chief scientist for Q1 and Q2, as was communicated in our previous calls this year. For the nine-month period, net R&D was $3 million, basically the same as its level for the first 9 months of 2014. We expect to continue receiving the R&D grants in the future, as we did in the past, but we can never predict the timing. Sales and marketing for the quarter was $2.1 million, up from $1.6 million in the third quarter of 2014. This reflects the commissions paid in respect of the high level of booking that were recorded during this quarter. For the nine-month period, sales and marketing totaled $5.5 million, unchanged from 2014. On slide 10, you see that the high gross margin plus Chief Scientist grant made up the most of the revenue shortfall, giving us nearly $1 million in operating income on a non-GAAP basis. For the nine-month period, operating profit was almost double its level in 2014, $2.9 million compared with $1.5 million in the first nine months of 2014. Financial expense during the quarter totaled $107,000. As you know, this item fluctuates from quarter to quarter based on currency exchange rates. For the nine-month period, financial expenses have totaled $481,000, obviously impacting our net profit. This compared with just $52,000 for the first nine months of 2014. As you can see on slide 11, net income for the quarter totaled $835,000 on a non-GAAP basis, or $0.10 per basic share. This is down slightly from $872,000, or $0.11 per basic share in the third quarter of 2014. Net income for the first nine months was $2.3 million, or $0.26 per basic share. This is up from $1.5 million in the first nine months of 2014. On slide 12, we have given you a full non-GAAP income statement for your reference. Turning to the balance sheet. As you can see on slide 13, our cash and cash equivalents as of the end of the quarter were $8 million, reflecting continued strong collection and high customer satisfaction. This compared with just $4.5 million at the end of Q3 a year ago. Our inventory levels have decreased from $2.7 million at the end of 2014 to $1.7 million as of September 30, 2014. I would like to direct your attention to slide 14 and 15. That demonstrate the improvement in our key balance sheet ratios over the past three years. I think that this shows the fundamental strength of our company better than almost anything else we can present. Back to you, David.
Thank you, Uri. That is for the third quarter. We are healthy, well-positioned, and have a fantastic pipeline of opportunities. I'm proud of the entire RADCOM team and very optimistic about the company's future. We look forward to reporting our progress in the quarters ahead. With that, we would be happy to take your questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Brian Kinstlinger of Maxim Group. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Brian, please go ahead. Brian, can you begin?
Hello? You can hear me now?
Yes, we hear you.
Huh, that's strange. I didn't have it on mute, but sorry. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three. The first one, you mentioned the revenues were lower than you expected, but I didn't quite hear the reason that you think they came in lower than expected. Maybe you could expand on that.
Okay. What I said in my remarks is that we were more focused in the opportunities we built for the NRE solution than in the execution of existing projects. As you probably know, in our business, the difference between booking and revenues is basically when we are getting the acceptance from customers. Our decision was for this quarter, and basically it was also a quarter before, to give more priority to the new opportunities than the sharp execution of existing projects.
When you say not sharp execution, does that mean the customers weren't happy and were there any ramifications?
No, it has nothing to do with the satisfaction of the customer. You can, when you are getting a PO, you need to deliver software and do specific adjustment. It can take a few months, it can take more than that. So you can sometimes make things happening faster than you planned before. And basically I can say that majority of our customers are very happy and satisfied with our solution.
Okay. And will this last for a couple more quarters, or is that process complete where it won't impact the top line as much anymore?
I believe the message behind our remarks is that we are now full steam ahead with the opportunities in Tier 1 in the developed markets, mainly U.S. and Europe. And that will have some kind of alternative cost.
Okay. You mentioned this year is a big year for telcos evaluating and testing NFVs. Can you quantify the pipeline? Maybe how many opportunities do you expect to compete for in the next 12 months, and maybe how many of those might have decisions in the next 12 months so
yeah.
Investors can sort of gauge the opportunity in the near term?
I prefer not to get into those specific details, but we see more and more operators getting into the NFV, and not only the NFV, also building their strategy about how to monitor their network with a solution and with technology like we can provide.
And that, I guess maybe if it's full steam ahead with the opportunities and it's a big year for telcos evaluating NFVs, how soon do you think it might be before we view it in your bookings results or revenues, therefore, for that matter?
I don't have control on customer decision. But I can say that part of the potential customer take this direction as a very serious direction, and we believe there will be decision in the market soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
The next question is from Amit Dayal of Rahman and Renshaw. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Dudi. In regards to the revenue mix in the third quarter, given what the margins were, is it now all software sales? Are we done with all the legacy hardware related products?
Yeah. Hi, Amit. Yeah, as you can see, the gross margin, the 80% gross margin reflect really that the majority of the change that we are doing moving from hardware to software is already behind us. But still, you know, we need to support some customer that bought a solution a few years ago with the legacy OmniQ solution we had. And my expectation is that we will still have some hardware deliveries, but it's become less and less meaningful in our business.
So just from a modeling point of view, I mean, should we be targeting around 80% plus margins going forward in a more consistent basis?
Yeah, Amit, I will maybe remind that we set a long-term target. We announced a long-term target. Last quarter, we announced a long-term target of 80%, meaning that for the long term, we expect 80% to be a reasonable number. A year before, we put a target of 75%, and we were very happy with the progress, even better than what we expected regarding the gross margin. So I believe it will be reasonable to put 80% if you want, you know, to be a little bit more conservative because there is a fluctuation in the market, then you can reduce it a little bit for the short term.
Right. And just my final question on, you know, some of the comments regarding the weakness in the third quarter driven by, I guess, resource requirements. I mean, we have a pretty strong balance sheet now, almost $8 million in cash. Are you thinking of maybe adding talent, you know, required people in those positions where you can continue pursuing these, you know, game-changing Tier 1 type opportunities while not sacrificing, you know, your near-term opportunities that you have already been involved in?
Yeah. We took a very aggressive approach in terms of strategy to penetrate the U.S. market with Enovis solution. And as we're gaining more confidence every quarter, every month, basically, more and more confidence, we are planning to use the, of course, the balance sheet and the strength of the company, and to increase the execution power, mainly hire more people. And we are in a process of increasing the headcount in the company, since we are more optimistic now than we used to be. Still, we are under a conservative methodology of management this situation. I will add to that I think that, you know, the alternative cost of our efforts that reflected in the only in the revenue line is very reasonable if you compare it to the potential we can generate.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Josh Goldberg of G2 Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions. Before talking about some of the newer opportunities, I guess for the first time you said on the call that you feel that the acquisition by Tektronix, by NetScout's acquisition of Tektronix, is proving to be a positive for you. Can you discuss a little bit more what are you seeing in the market? Is it because there's, you know, a chance for you to become a second vendor where there's some revenue slippage? And if you can size how big that could be for you as you progress with your NFE solutions outside of the big projects, just typical business around the world, is the acquisition of Tektronix by NetScout enabling you to get in as a second source for some more deals? And I have a follow-up.
Yeah. Hi, Josh. First of all, I think you are right, and the acquisition really generate opportunity for players to become, you know, the second source, and there is a place for a second source, since before that the market was dominated by Tektronix around 30% and NetScout something like 15% or maybe a little bit more percent. But I think it's more than that. I think this transition and the period at stake make a big list of operators of their existing customer unhappy. And we feel this is an opportunity for other players, for the smaller players, including Radcom, to show their technology and to address the tail of the customers of Tektronix, of NetScout and Tektronix, and to find more opportunities. And this is one of the reasons that we gain a strong pipeline today.
It seems that Josh Goldberg has disconnected from the call.
Okay.
So we'll continue to the second round of questions. If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. The next question is from George Marima. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Is your balance sheet sufficient now for Tier 1 opportunities?
First of all, we feel that, good morning, we feel that we have a very strong balance sheet, and in addition to that, as I mentioned, we are working with partners, very strong partners. I mentioned them, Amdocs, HP, and in any scenario of NFV Tier 1 winning, they are going with us. They are not just the channel. They will do the support, and we are working together in these opportunities.
And can you give us any enlightenment as to why Zohar has left his position as chairman?
I think we refer this in the press release, and I will not add to that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sure.
The next question is of Josh Goldberg from G2 Investment Group. Please go ahead. Doctor, with you?
Sorry, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Sorry, I lost you for a second. I guess my second question was on your comments. You specifically said that you feel more confident now, and as each passing test continues, you're feeling more confident about your ability to really penetrate some of these tier ones. And I guess, you know, obviously you never know the timing, and you certainly don't know the size of it. But, you know, just to kind of bring it to an example that's going on in America today, you know, it's the World Series this week in New York, and, you know, you win some tier one deals, and it's a $3 or $4 million contract. Those aren't World Series deals. From what you're seeing, do you believe that you're in position to win significant deals, breakthrough deals, these deals that are as strong or bigger than you've ever seen before?
Yeah. Josh, I prefer not to get into the exact numbers, but when we won a deal in Asia Pacific, or we announced a deal of around 13 or 14 million US dollars with the Maverick 2 years ago, this was the size of a tier one in Asia Pacific. And I think we all understand that in the U.S. market as well as Europe market, there are very big tier one operators, very strong tier one operators with a wide network and a high capacity. So in general, the numbers in the markets, in this market segment, U.S. and Europe, is higher, or much higher than the numbers we used to have in other territories.
And the level of confidence that you have, that you, after each test, that you feel like you're gaining confidence. Can you just give us some sense of why that is?
Yeah, we are, you know, basically the potential customers, they are testing our solution in the last year. So we are getting, in each of the evaluation we are doing, in each of the tests, we're getting a very positive feedback from the customers. And by that, we are gaining more motivation, and we are gaining more feedback that we took the right decision. And it helped us to be more optimistic. It's very hard to measure, but the atmosphere is very good. And, you know, all indications so far are that this is a sound approach that will succeed in the market. And time will tell.
Okay, thank you, and good luck.
Thanks.
The next question is from Chris Tuttle of Soundview Technology Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I just have two. One of them is just to understand better the timing of a contract win to revenue recognition. You announced on October 13th a $2 million order. And if you could remind me or just explain, over what period of time would you expect that revenue to actually flow through the P&L?
Okay. In general, what we are saying is that delivery of a project takes us between 3 to 6 months. So I think you can take this time frame as the answer.
Okay. And my other question is a simple one. I just wanted to ask you, can you give us the quarterly cash balance comparison and explain what impacted that in terms of the balance sheet?
Hi, it's Uri. Yeah. Basically, the main effect that we have is related to the cash is due to FX rates, mainly to Brazil. The FX there went, the real became weaker versus the US dollars, and it affected our US dollar amount. Obviously, this had a material effect if you compare Q2 number to Q3 number.
Okay, was the Q2 ending number 9.9 million?
Yeah.
Okay. So the 2 million sequential differential is currency related, or is it more receivables?
half of it is due to, almost half of it is due to FX.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. I'll let the next guy go.
The next question is from Noah Steinberg of G2 Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, Josh actually asked my questions, so.
Okay.
We will take the next questioner. The next question is a follow-up from George Miruma. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, David. I wanted to ask, you said in your prepared remarks that the quarter had record bookings, and I only remember hearing about $2 million announced during the quarter. I'm assuming that means that you've had several deals that were not announced. Is that correct? And were any of these deals any Tier 1 deals somewhere in the world?
Yeah, we choose to announce deals that we, you know, we find some uniqueness about them. Not every deal that we are and every PO that we are getting is something we announce. So your assumption is right.
Can you give us any more color on the bookings?
Yeah, the booking were very high. We compared our booking in Q3 booking at least 15 years back, and we find that this is the highest number. It was a combination of a few big, basically two relatively big POs, and then the other small one.
And are these going to be delivered in 2015 or in 2016, these two big POs?
Again, the delivery is normally around 3 to 6 months. We can succeed sometimes deliver it earlier than that, or there can be some delays. It's very hard to tell.
And back last quarter, a few months ago, you'd mentioned you were working on a Russian deal that sort of slipped from Q2, it slipped. And you're hoping that would come back alive in Q3 or Q4. Did you get any official movement on that, of what the status of that contract was? It was about $1 million to $1.4 million range, I think you said?
Yeah. This deal was a software-only, a little bit more than $1 million deal. And we didn't take it till now. It's still in our pipeline.
Is it still a live contract, as far as you know?
It's a deal without it's without a competition. We are waiting for a budget confirmation that may come and may not come. We were disappointed in Q2 of not getting it, and we will wait till the customer will be mature enough and strong enough to do the investment.
Okay. Thank you, David.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Brian Kinsler. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on the bookings questions. Can you provide what total bookings were? I mean, it doesn't give us an insight to any customers.
We don't give this figure. However, it was very strong in the quarter. I think that's good enough.
Was that, you mentioned two large ones. Did you press release either of those large ones?
I think I answered it already. I mean, we are not press release everything. But the numbers were satisfied. We were happy with that, especially when it came in Q3. Normally, the big improvement in booking is in the telcos environment is in Q4. So we were happy with the results of the booking in Q3, especially when we are under a lot of pressure. Working very hard around the virtualized solution and the penetration to the U.S. and Europe market.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Josh Goldberg. Please go ahead.
David, if you can just, and obviously, I realize that this has been 12 months or more of effort. But I just want you to, for investors on the phone, to understand, when you put in your press release, our progress with top-tier NFV markets and discussions moving forward with Tier 1 service providers in the U.S., without going into any more detail, just help us understand why are you so excited that these discussions have continued into these transformative opportunities? However you can help investors understand a little bit more about, obviously it takes a long time, and the sales cycles are very long and everything else, but it does seem like you are quite optimistic today on the future of the company, and these discussions seem to give you that type of confidence. If you can just talk a little bit more about that, however you can. Thanks.
Basically, it's a combination of two dimensions. The first dimension is that the reason for our excitement is the combination of those two dimensions. The first dimension is the fact that, as we expected, the NFV market is really taking momentum. I mean, really, the operators, and you can read it, there is a lot of material in the web, and operators are speaking about it. They are taking it to the next level. They are doing the investment in the virtualization from two reasons. The first reason is that it saves them CapEx, and the second reason is it's going to save them a meaningful OpEx. Investment in a service assurance solution, customer experience management solution, and analytics like we can provide should be and is a part of the solution they need in order to finish this transition to NFV. So the first dimension and the first reason for our optimism is the fact that we see that we put our finger in the right direction, and this is the direction that the big telcos are taking, and the rest will follow them. This is one thing. The other thing is that we gain experience in the last 9 months, maybe a little bit more than that, from a very good feedback that we are getting from a customer and very serious customers. And when you are getting this kind of feedback and they are telling you that you have a good technology that fits the need and they are very happy, then you gain your confidence and optimism.
Okay. And is it fair to say that this optimism and confidence sounds like it's not just one customer?
We are working on the NFV in the U.S. and Europe. And, of course, each of the customer has his own roadmap and timetable, but it's more than one customer.
Okay. And just, I guess, the last question for me would just be, and you know, we've been shareholders and believers in the company for a long time. As much as the near-term weakness is disappointing some investors, I think you're making the right decision in terms of going after these bigger opportunities, and that they will be game changers, and they will change the company's growth and exposure to a level that I think is well worth the effort that you're putting in. And I guess all of us as investors just need to have some patience as we see how the next few months play out.
Thank you, Josh, for the confidence.
Josh, are you with us?
Thank you.
Next question is from Amit Dayal, follow-up. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, I've been juggling a few calls. I know you've answered some questions around the bookings. Can you give us what the previous high for the bookings was?
Amit, unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me. But in any case, we prefer not to discuss the exact number. We just say that you were not in the call during my answer about it. We checked 15 years back, and in Q3, this is a record for the company, and it gives us a good confidence.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Epstein, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes, thank you very much for joining the call and the confidence. And thank you, Noga.
Thank you. This concludes the RADCOM Limited Third Quarter 2015 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.